We're doing our final class in the Jewish Home for this semester. We're going to break for the holidays, Bezat Shem, after Yom Kippur. So I thought we should address a few points that are relevant this time of year to the Jewish Home. So Yom Kippur comes. You're going to fast. Your wife's going to fast. Sometimes the wife needs help dealing with the kids. You have to help. That means that Yom Kippur when you're married looks different than Yom Kippur when you're single. Part of the time, you will go home and see if she's managing okay with the kids. You might choose to do what many people do, to pray really early, to go to Minyan Vatikin. Almost the first decade of our married life, I'd always daven Vatikin on Yom Kippur, so that I'd daven with the crack of dawn, and then I'd be home by 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11, to deal with the kids for 4 hours. My wife could rest, saying there are different solutions, but you have to realize that this partnership is a partnership in bringing up the kids, and that means that your Yom Kippur might not look exactly the way you'd like. Sometimes it means you'll go to your in-laws for Yom Kippur because they have good air conditioning. And this way your wife won't be in the heat on Yom Kippur. And that might mean that you don't go to the minyan you like on Yom Kippur. For half a decade, I wasn't davening in the minyan I liked on Yom Kippur. I davened by my in-laws, so my wife would have their air conditioning and their help and my sister-in-law's help with the kids. And I daven at the crack of dawn. At a minyan I didn't particularly like. I mean, it was okay, but I didn't know any of their tunes. But so what? You know, they're still good kosher Jews, and it's a good kosher minyan, so that's where we daven. So when we think about Yom Kippur as a family, our thoughts are different. A few years ago, my wife was supposed to be in bed rest during Yom Kippur. She was pregnant, and the doctors were concerned, so they said she can fast, but if she starts feeling A or B or C, then we want her to break her fast. So, again, I davened really early, and I was home, and then came mincha time. So it's the late afternoon, and we're up to the final prayers of Yom Kippur. And the neighbor across the hall had the same situation. His wife was also pregnant, was also in bed rest, and the doctors were also concerned. So I'm standing on the porch feeding the kids lunch or lupper, and he sees me, and he's headed out to shul for mincha. So I was telling myself, you know, if I could get all the kids to sleep, so then maybe I could also run around the corner and catch part of the davening with the tzibur. So I asked him, what time is davening? So he said, which minyan are you davening at? And I said, it doesn't look like I'm going to get to any minyan. It looks like I'm going to daven at home. He says, Yom Kippur, you're davening at home. Very nice. I said, well, you understand, my wife is in bed. And if I leave, then she probably will have to break her fast. She won't have the strength. She won't be able to do this both at the same time. So he said, and you think it's more important for you to be home helping her? So she'll have to break her fast. What's that your problem? So I said, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right, halachically. So he made a face and left. And 3 weeks later, he came back to me and said that Rav Yashiv said what I said. Rav Yashiv had said that he found out. Meaning that it's not because of Shalom Bayit. It's halachic. I'm not even talking about being a kind person. I'm talking about the simple basic requirement. We're partners in bringing up the kids, and halachically, I can't leave in order to get the benefit of davening in shul when the cost of that will be that she will have to break her fast because she'll be exerted with the kids. Right? So, I'm just saying Yom Kippur as a family sometimes plays itself out very differently than Yom Kippur as a single person. I remember vividly standing the Elah in our living room and thinking, boy, I'm davening alone Ne'ilah. But okay, I was thinking, Ribon Shalom, you gave us a Torah, you told us how to behave, this is what you want. So I hope you find, my prayer finds favor before you, as though I was davening in a minyan, but this is the best I can do in this circumstance. So when we approach the holiday season, we have to realize, as a family, we're approaching it differently, with a responsibility to family. So that responsibility plays itself out in many ways. As we said, part of it is, you'll try to find out if your wife is pregnant or nursing, what foods will be best for her to prepare for the fast. What's very important that people overlook is after the fast, you have to eat and drink. Very often people finish the fast, they grab something to eat, they grab something to drink, and then they charge forward. And that's when women will classically lose their milk. Meaning a woman can almost always handle a fast, provided that she drank a lot beforehand and she drinks a lot afterwards. And most women forget to drink a lot afterwards. That means for the 24-hour period after the fast, a woman has to drink a lot, many liters of water, and then she replenishes her milk. So that's a key point. Part of our mutual responsibility in marriage is reminding her to do that, sitting down for the meal together. Very often the husband wants to rush out to do his mitzvah of building the sukkah or buying his lulav and esrog. You got to take care of your wife too. So if we're both fasting, we have mitzvot that are relevant to both of us. We know that on Yom Kippur night, the couple is prohibited from being intimate. So you got to think about how you set up the beds and how you set up things so you don't end up messing up. On the night of Yom Kippur is not the night you're going to be together. One of the things that happens when we approach the holidays is that we have a lot of time together, which is a double-edged sword. In order for this to really work, you should try to be well-rested. You have a lot of time off, so take naps and sleep. Because classically, the day in which people post the most requests for divorce is Sunday. Because after spending a whole Shabbos together, so there are fireworks. A person has to realize that even the best couple is going to have a little bit of hardships when they spend too much time together. It gets difficult. Women want to discuss everything, and men are wondering, what did you want? So if we're together for 2 hours, that's great. If we're together for 6 hours, that's great. If we're together for 2 days straight, so then we can start getting on one another's nerves. And that does not indicate that it's a bad couple. The best couples can be together for a certain period of time, and then after that, it doesn't go so well for them. Couples should try to get used to reading books next to one another. You don't have to sit and talk all the time. Meaning we could be sitting in a room together doing other things. If you're not reading books, if it's not that she's reading a book and you're reading a book, and it's a really captivating book, then if you're going to try reading the book while she's doing the dishes, she's going to talk to you every 2 seconds. The nature of women is that they're talking is a part of their connection to people, as we will discuss. And so men get very frustrated because they stop what they're doing to listen, and then they don't understand what you wanted from them. She didn't want anything necessarily other than to talk to you. So if you want to read, you should both be reading. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Now, you have to try and take time to be together. That sounds like a simple thing, but once you have a family, it gets more difficult because the kids are around and the kids are asking questions and the kids are taking your time. And taking time together means after you put the kids to sleep, you sit down and you have time. You can play. I recommend couples buy Rummy Cue. You play together. You talk together. It's important to think about how you're going to set up the time in Yom Tiv to have time as a couple. What very often happens is you're dating, and then you have time together. And you get married, and the first year you have time together. And then the kids come to the world, and you get very busy with the kids, and you barely have time. And when you do have time, you're talking about the kids and the things you have to take care of, and you don't have time to really cultivate your relationship. And then, after 25, 30 years, you marry off all the kids, and then you suddenly find yourself together with the person, and you don't know what to do with one another. So one of the things that couples should do is take time. One of the things that helps on dates and after people are married is to walk. Meaning it's much more difficult to have a conversation sitting. When you're sitting, so then for some reason it's more likely that the conversation will be tedious for the husband. Again, because of our difference in conversational styles, it's very common that husbands find prolonged conversations tedious? We discussed this already. Not yet. We're still going to have many classes on why speech is such a difficult thing between men and women. But one of the ways in which speech becomes easier is if you're just walking. You go for a walk together. So again, it's a question of planning. When it comes to shul, so halachically, women don't have to go to shul. Women don't even have to say Shmoneh Esrei. They could just say a short prayer. But for them and for us, it's important that women do go to shul. They develop spiritually. They connect. They connect socially. So a person has to figure out how to make it available, that his wife should be able to go to shul. They're going to schmooze a large part of the time. They should just do it outside the shul, not to bother all the people davening. But talking is important. So we come to the holidays. And what's your mitzvah when we come to the holidays? As a husband, to buy your wife a gift, to buy her something nice to wear on the Yom Tov. So this brings us to the stories of holiday shopping. That means you have to take time and go with your wife to the store, unless she's comfortable going alone. Very often a wife wants you to come. So we have to understand what's going on. Last night, I had a neighbor who needed a hand, so I was taking out the garbage. He was getting off the bus. He asked me if I could come up with him. So I came to his house, and we had to measure something together. And as we're doing it, his wife asks him, "What do you want from Lav Malka? What do you want to eat for dinner?" So he says, "Whatever you'll eat, I'll join you." Okay? And she says, "What would you like me to prepare?" And he says, "Whatever you'll enjoy eating, I'll enjoy eating with you." And she says, "So what do you want me to make?" And he says, "Anything's good by me. What's going on?" And I was listening to this conversation last night. I said, boy, I've addressed this in my classes. This is classical. I wish I could just like pause the scene and say, buddy, come, let me explain to you what's really going on here. So we'll go off on that tangent for a minute, because it's very, very common, and husbands don't realize what's going on in this conversation. Our story begins with, what should we call her? Sprinza. Okay. Sprinza comes to her husband, Binny, and says, "Binny, what do you want for supper?" So Binny says, "Anything's good by me." So Sprinza says, "Yeah, but what would you like?" Binny says, "Well, we have leftover chont, we have leftover chicken. There's so much food left over after 2 days Yom Tov. Whatever you like is good by me." So Sprinza says, "You know, Binny, what do you want me to make?" So Binny realizes that he's not going to end this conversation without giving her an answer. So he says, "You know what? The chicken was delicious. Let's reheat the chicken." Okay. "And what side dish?" He realizes he's not going to win. He says, "The rice was perfect." "Yeah, you want the potatoes with it?" "Perfect." "Okay, great." He closes the phone. He gets back to work, and he asks himself, "Why'd you have to call me at work and ask me what to prepare for supper?" Okay, fine. 2 days pass, 3 days pass, phone rings again, he's trying to concentrate, he's in the middle of a project, and same question, "What would you like for supper?" "Whatever you want is fine by me." "And what would you like?" "I'm not sure, you know, everything you make is delicious." "Do you want fleishiks or milchiks?" "Whatever you like, I'll like. I like all your food." "Yeah, but what would you want?" So he's like holding himself back, and he says, "You know what? Spaghetti and meatballs sounds great." "Wonderful. Okay. You want the sauce to be spicy?" "No, no, no. Plain spaghetti and meatballs. Perfect." Okay. He hangs up the phone, and he's asking himself, why did she have to do this to me? Same scene repeats itself 3 days later, and he can't figure out why. His friend's wedding's coming up. So he tells her, "You know, we're going to go to the wedding. Let's try to be ready at 5 o'clock. We want to be on time. I'm one of the witnesses. He wants me there." Shows up early, 3 o'clock. They're getting ready. She comes in from the other room and says, "What dress should I wear?" So he says, "What are the options?" So she says, "Well, there's the the black one that has a white vest, there's the blue one that has the purple flowers, there's the blue one that has the green flowers. Which would you like? The blue one with the green flowers. Okay. A second later, what shoes should I wear with it? What are my choices? Well, there are the blue ones with the velvet lining, and there are the blue ones with the little pink flowers, but I don't think they match so well. And then there are the standard black ones. Standard black ones. You sure? You don't want something that matches better? No, standard black, beautiful. She comes back a minute later, and what head covering? He looks at his watch. She looks at her head covering. You know, the one that covers your head. That sounds good. And she says, no, no, but which color? And he's already losing it. He says, you know, why don't you see which one you think matches best? Because, you know, we've really got to get out of here in 5 minutes. And she says, which do you like? So he says, the dark blue one seems great to me. She looks at it, she says, I don't think it matches. He looks, he says, I think it does. Fine. She grabs the dark blue one, and he's like getting antsy. A minute later, she's back. What necklace do you want me to wear? Necklace? Which necklace do you want to wear? No, no, no. Benny, which necklace do you want to wear? Which one do you want me to wear? The gold one. Which gold one? Let me see. That one. Okay. Are we ready to leave? But you don't want me to put on earrings? Okay, so put on earrings. But which earrings? Shprinza, why don't you choose the earrings? You know, we really have to go. Does it really matter what earrings you wear? Wear whatever earrings you want. Let's go. This isn't fair. Shprinza, just put on those things on your ears, right? In your ears, on your ears, whatever. However you want to put them on. Put them on. Let's go. She's already getting hurt. And she comes back and says, you want me to put on eyeshadow? And he says, no. And she says, but you always say you like eyeshadow. And he says, I do, but I don't like you being late and dragging me along with you. So please, let's go. She says, she's really offended now. They're headed to the car, and she's thinking, good thing I didn't put on eyeshadow because it would all smear now with the tears streaming down my cheek. And they go to the wedding, and he's seething and she's seething. And then she turns and she tries to put together a smile as she goes to the kala, to the bride, and he goes into the men's section, and he can't figure her out. What's going on here? Why does she have to ask me all these questions? And now she's upset. Comes into the men's section, goes over to his rabbi and says, I don't get women. She can't decide for herself. She can't decide what food to make for supper. I have to decide if it's going to be the leftover chicken or the leftover meat or the leftover chont or the leftover... What's wrong with her? I have to decide there is rice, there is potatoes, there isn't rice, there isn't potatoes. What? Why do I have to decide all these things? I have to decide if she's going to put on eyeshadow and what color head covering and what color earrings. Come on, she's an adult. Makes sense? You guys understand them. Let's hear her side of the story. She goes to the Rebbetzin in the women's section. She says, you know, I don't understand men. I know how much time I have and how much time it'll take to reheat the chicken and the cholent. But I call him, in spite of the fact that I'm in a rush and I have a schedule, because I want to make the food that will make him happy. I could do whatever works for me, but I'm not doing that. I'm trying to figure out what will make him happy. Is it so difficult for him to answer me? I call him and it's like he's doing me a favor to answer me. What did I ask? I asked, how can I make you happy? What food will make you happy? I'm getting ready for the wedding. I'm going to spend all of 2 minutes with him when we get here. And then 2 minutes when we leave. And I'm going to spend the whole span of the wedding with all my friends. But I ask him, what are you like? Because I want to dress in a way that'll make him happy. Because that's more important to me than all my friends. But that gets him annoyed. By what right does he get annoyed at me? So I'm standing there last night listening to this young groom, my neighbor. He's married all of a month, and his wife asks him, what do you want me to put up? And he's saying exactly what I just told you. Whatever you'll eat, I'll join you. Whatever works for you, I'll join you. And I hear his patience wearing, like, why is she asking me a third time? The reason she's asking you is exactly what she said. What would you like? She knows what works for her. She knows what's easiest, what ingredients she has, but she also wants to express her love in the food that she prepares and in the clothing that she wears. So take the time and answer. Understand where she's coming from. You go to a store to buy clothing. Take the time to find clothing you both like. Sometimes there's a situation where a husband would like his wife to wear more tsanua clothing, more modest clothing. So the way to do it is to slowly shift. When you go to the store, make sure you go to stores that sell more modest clothing, and slowly you change the wardrobe. I have a friend who married a wife who had black hair. I wouldn't know it. He wanted her to wear wigs that were blonde. So she said, how could I wear blonde wigs? Everyone knows me with black hair from before the wedding. So every time they went to wear a wig, he'd get a shade lighter. And by the time I knew them, I thought she was a blonde. You know, anytime I saw her, she was with blonde hair. Right? They didn't. I wouldn't have known because slowly, you know. So every time they went a shade down, two shades down, eventually they got the blonde. 5 years later, she didn't realize that they were there. And this works both ways. It works with husbands. It works with wives. We all shift gradually. Going to buy clothing together, so that's your mitzvah, to buy your wife clothing. Or if she doesn't need new clothing, you can buy her jewelry.
Every
holiday, yeah. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Rav Mordechai Elio had a prolonged period when he was hospitalized. Right. And at one point, his son told over that he said to him, you know, he told him where in the house he had a special perfume that he had bought for his wife for the holiday. And that taught me something very interesting, because he was, at that point, he was already hospitalized over half a year. Which means that whenever he came across that perfume, which he thought his wife would like, he had purchased it well in advance. And I'll tell you a little secret. I come from a family of businessmen. So whenever I buy things, I try to get a good price, and I try to get a good deal. When my wife and I got engaged, so I didn't want to pay more than I had to for all the jewelry, whatever we were buying for the wedding. So I found out, I got the name and number of a distributor of jewelry. And I called him up, and I said, look, I want to buy a few pieces from you. This is the guy that sells to the stores. When you guys will get engaged, give me a call, I'll give you his number. I met with him, and I made up with him the order of how he'd lay out the jewelry according to prices without telling my wife what each one would cost. He'd signal me each time incrementally as we moved up the ladder. So we began with the cheapest jewelry. My wife could see what she likes and doesn't like, and whatever, and we moved our way up. And any time there was something that we both liked, I said, why don't we put it aside, and in the end we'll decide what we want to take from this whole pile, right? What was I really planning? At the end, I told him, you put in a separate box all the stuff that we both liked. And we bought whatever it was that was going to be for the wedding. And then I told her, I don't want to pay in front of you. I don't want you to see how much it cost. It's my gift to you. So I went out with him to the parking lot, and I bought all the other pieces of jewelry. And now, because I was buying like 6-7 pieces of jewelry, so I could knock him down, and I could tell him, okay, and this you're throwing in for free. And I got like really a really good deal. And then I hid him. Like, I hid all this jewelry, and for the next 5 years, I had, you know, every holiday that came, I'd have something, and, you know, she thought that I just wrote the code of each gift. You know, the jewelers have different codes, so I could go back to the jeweler and buy in honor of this holiday, go back and buy in honor of that holiday. Why should I? I saved the time, I saved the money, I was able to knock down the price, and I didn't have to worry about going out and buying stuff and asking myself, will she like it? Won't she like it? We had already looked at it together and decided together. So I'm just saying, sometimes it's worthwhile. Till today, I try to do that. If I'm already going to go to a jewelry store, I want to buy enough stuff that I won't have to go again for another year or two. And then you could also knock down the price, and you got to find a place to hide it. She shouldn't find it, right? She finds it, you lost it. So you got to... what I do is, there were years that I bought on Zales online. There's the store called Zales. So I'd wait until after the holiday season, and then they'd have huge discounts. You could get 70, 80% off. You could get like a gold necklace or gold earrings that would cost $80. You could get them for $20. You could really get things really cheap. And why not? And then you have it for Pesach and the holidays to come.